Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Silicon Dreams 1550 AM. I'm Charlene from Orbis 86, your host for today. Today, we welcome a very special guest on the episode. We have Aigerim Omerbekova, a seasoned marketing executive and Web3 pioneer with over years of global experience in DeFi, GameFi, and FinTech. Known for her experience in building startups from inception to scale, she has proven a track record of launching successful token and NFT projects and securing partnerships with industry giants like Visa and MasterCard. Welcome, Aigerim. It's lovely to have you on our show today. I hope you're doing well.
Hi, Charlene. Thank you for having me. I'm doing amazing. Thank you. Hope you're doing well too.
Great having you. So, you know, we would love to know your journey. Tell us a little bit about your journey, your role as VP and head of marketing, and, you know, your journey through FinTech, DeFi, GameFi. How did it all start and where is it at now?
Sure. Well, first of all, I have always been interested in startups, and what makes startup different from any other venture is that it's technology-based and it's scalable. So I found it fascinating, and I got like American education, and I had always exposure, you know, to people like from the Silicon Valley, and I've been doing my research, reading books, like basics like Zero to One or Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg or Hard Think About Hard Things by Anderson Horowitz. So I was like always interested in startups. So I started after like getting my bachelor's degree, I started doing internships at companies supporting startups, like startup acceleration programs. And then I went and did my master's and again worked in, at an agency. We worked with four key startups in the US. And then I worked for the financial center in Kazakhstan, the International Financial Center. And I was specifically overseeing FinTech pillar, where we also had exposure to blockchain. So I started learning more and more about blockchain. We worked with Global Blockchain Business Council, and then I worked for a DeFi startup also from inception, and now I'm working for a blockchain gaming startup also from inception. So I think it's something very special for me and something that drives me to build ventures from scratch, from nothing, like, you know, with the vision, with the branding, and going into the community, building the community, building the media presence, online presence, and just getting the track record. So this is something that drives me. So this is where I am now.
That is great. And I love that you spoke about the, you know, how you did your education with your work, you know, the internships and everything together just, you know, kind of builds up that whole portfolio. And that's an impressive journey, I must say. So, you know, you spoke about things that you did globally. So how did those experiences in different countries kind of shape your understanding of the global landscape for startups and innovation?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, Charlene. I'd say, like, you know, just being a curious person about different cultures, even about different industries, I think it really helped to have a wider perspective on how things work. I think in general, like, startups work with the same approach. Like, you have to be, you have to have grit, you have to, again, like, you know, stand your ground, you have to like really believe in the goal and the vision of the startup and show up every day and do the work every single day. Sometimes you have harsh days, sometimes you have positive days. So in that sense, I think running a startup is the same. Like, it's a very, very risky business, but at the same time, reward is so much higher. And when you see something, you know, appearing from zero, from ground up, from scratch, it's very, very inspiring. And one step at a time, like, you get there eventually. So I think in that sense, like, it's similar across all the cultures or all the geographies that I worked in. But I would say, depending on the geography, like, culture does play the role. For example, in New York, it's a bit different. Like, you know, the agencies that I worked for and, you know, the four key startups that we were overseeing, it was very, very dynamic. And we had, like, holistic approach being an agency and mostly focusing on investor relations. So it was very dynamic. We were the connecting point between the investors and, you know, having the investor calls and the reports and also running the socials and media and online presence of those startups and, you know, like having scheduled like weekly catch-ups, it was a very like businessy approach.
Yeah.
When I worked in Central Asia and Eastern Europe, the approach was a little bit different, like because of the culture, because people are more like collectivistic there. And we had like also wider exposure and running different programs. It was very dynamic. It was less businessy in the sense that there was like less paperwork, but there was a lot of workload, and we've been running like one program after another program. Working in the Middle East also like culture plays a huge role, and I'm really happy for this because you get to learn like different perspectives, different business ethics, and in the Middle East you have to, but I think it's pretty much everywhere, you have to build the connection first, you have to build your network first, and you have to have a warm connection, and you have to like understand the person, or you know, like understand the founder like on a personal level, like, you know, what drives them, what is their vision for 5-10 years, and if your values match, if your like approach to the business match. So I think specifically for Middle East, it's very, very unique and even more important than for other parts of the world. So yeah, and like also getting exposure to different languages, I got to learn like few more languages along the way, which I'm also very grateful for. I think it also helps understand the people and the culture deeper, because at the end of the day, you know, I always say that it's about the people who run the business, it's about the people who take the industry forward, and being in such an early stage industry, like you actually do make an impact and you actually shape the industry. So everyone's role here is important, and I think it's crucial to understand that. And being in such position and being in such a timely, unique point of shaping and building this industry in this early stage, I think it's very, very unique and special experience, you know, especially being in Dubai where blockchain is supported that much.
Absolutely. For sure. And now, you know, coming back to, you know, Web3 in specific. So as a Web3 pioneer, could you elaborate on your experiences in building startups from ground up? And particularly in terms of community building and media coverage, how does that function?
Sure. Just to give the background information, like the biggest communities that we've had so far was 100K from the current gaming startups. For the media coverage, we got organic coverage by TechCrunch and TechCrunch UK and like a bunch of other media, tier one, tier two, tier three, and local media as well. So I think first of all, like you cannot, you know, like you can, some things you can wing, some things you have to put your heart and soul in. So you cannot fake it. Like you, I firmly believe you have to do some things that you like, and eventually you can grow passion for that field or for that venture. So building something from ground up, of course, it becomes important for you. Like you understand, you also have to understand what you're doing. So in one hand, you have to be really curious and interested and have passion for what you're doing. And in the other hand, you have to know what you're doing. So constantly growing, constantly learning, constantly doing your research, constantly getting insights from, you know, other industry leaders, and always educating yourself. So understanding what you're doing within the startup and what you're doing in the larger scale within the industry, where the industry is going. So when you grasp that, you know, like 360 degree like view of things, it's very easy to pitch, it's very easy to position the product or the platform. So in terms of building the community, like you cannot, like people understand when you're real and when you're actually doing something important or not. So that's why we've been always, most of the time, we've been doing everything in-house. Mm-hmm. We rarely, like, I don't think we even had an agency, you know, for any marketing or community building purposes. We did everything pretty much in-house. Yes, it's a little bit more work, but you can see all the details. You can put your heart and soul in it, and you can put your energy, and you can perfect everything along the way, you know, each campaign, each communication with community members. So I think it's very important to have that personal approach and not to completely outsource everything. Like, of course, as you scale, you have to outsource and you have to, you know, delegate. But at the same time, I think it's important to have hands-on approach and make sure that like nothing is not important. Like every small detail is important.
You know, I would love to discuss some of the key partnerships you've been involved with, like Visa and MasterCard. And I mean, you know, kudos to that. Any other prominent organizations that you've, you know, secured partnerships with, and how do these partnerships kind of How have they contributed to the success of the projects?
The companies that you mentioned, I worked with them when I was in Kazakhstan, working for the AIFC FinTech. So it was like a partnership on a very, very large scale. So, and you know, those banks, they're banks, right? They also, which is a good thing, that banks are tapping into unbanked populations. So, and this, I think it's important to have a symbiosis between Web3 and Web2 banks and non-banked audiences, and you know, connecting and actually taking in general things forward by collaborations. So yeah, these banks, they were running different programs for like there were different programs to support fintech startups. Visa initiative for women, Visa initiative for fintech startup, same for MasterCards, and for MasterCard, and they were coming to our annual events and speaking there. It was like the biggest financial event in Central Asia pretty much. So yeah, they were supporting like early stage startups, and especially they were supporting women founders. So I think it's also a good thing, you know, it's like normal, like how things work in the industry, in fintech industry. Yeah, and because otherwise being a bank, if you forget about unbanked or underserved audiences, you might lose a customer base, right? So I think it's very smart of them to tap into that as well. It was years ago, honestly, Charlene, it was like many, many years ago.
No, but yeah, I mean, every experience counts that way. So thank you for telling us, you know, and I mean, yeah, like you said, you have to tap into those kind of audiences, which is important. And okay, now with all the good things in Web3, there are obviously some challenges that will come your way and have come your way. And I'm pretty sure you've navigated through them, right? So in your opinion, what are some of the biggest challenges, you know, that startups would face, have faced, or, you know, could face in the future as well in fintech, DeFi, GameFi, or just in Web3 in general, you know, and how can entrepreneurs address them?
That's also a very, very good question, Charlene. First of all, you know, as you mentioned yourself, I think it's important to, you know, for startups, for Web3, especially for Web3 startups, I think the main challenge is that the industry in general has a negative connotation. And I think people or the companies in charge, they don't want to change that connotation because nobody wants, like, being transparent, nobody wants to give away their power, right? Like Web2 ventures, etc. But I think either like big companies or like individual users and customers, they understand that Web3 is here to stay. Yes, we are in early stage. There have been several bubbles. There was like FTX crash, and like what's happening right now with Binance. So like you cannot shift and change your attitude and mood based on like external stuff. Because in general, in the larger scale, in the longer run, you know that Web3 is here to stay. Like blockchain on its own as a technology is here to stay, and like nobody can refuse that. Yeah. So, but nobody knows, like, is it gonna take 5 years or 50 years to balance things, to regulate things? So it's a rocky ride. Like, yes, but like in general, like running a startup and being in a startup business is very, very volatile and risky. But specifically in Web3, it's like 100 times X, right? 100 times more risky. Sorry, I said 100X or 100 times more risky. So yeah, and I think it's just, again, like you really have to like what you're doing. Like I firmly, firmly believe that you really have to like and you really have to understand what you're doing. So being like getting education in Web3 about Web3 is crucial, because that way you'll be able to make your own decisions, to make your own, you know, like views, to have your own views and not be shaken by whatever is happening externally. Yeah, and also like if you're an entrepreneur or a founder, you really have to have a grit, because it's really very easy to, you know, being swayed from different like external things. So you really have to have grit. And you really like, and also there is a quote, I'm being cheesy right now, but there is a quote that success is going from one failure to another without losing the enthusiasm. It is so true. But the thing is, eventually things work out. Like, you know, it may take a month, it may take 6 months, it may take 2 years, it may take 5 years, but eventually things work out. So I think not giving up as crazy as it sounds, it's something that works in any industry. You just have to pick the industry that you like. For us, of course, it's Web3. Yeah, so, and of course, not being completely like blinded and just standing your ground for nothing, but also educating yourself. And it's very easy, you know, to educate yourself for people who have the willingness to learn. And it's very easy to find like reliable sources. There are a plethora of online courses on Udemy and edX, where you can learn the basics of technology if you're starting from scratch. It's also crucial to, you know, stay up to date by reading reliable sources. Again, as I mentioned, I do read the news and like TechCrunch, BlockWars, Decrypt, etc. And also following like socials like NFT Now, Metaverse, East as in three in the Metaverse. So yeah, and having like Google alerts, you know, for the keywords that you're interested in, so you can understand what's happening in the industry at the same time. So yeah, I think education is crucial, and standing true to your vision that you really had like at the very beginning.
True. You guys have heard it. Education is, I mean, to keep yourself educated and keep yourself up to date with everything in Web3 is very important, while also being brave enough to take risks and, you know, make sure that you are following your vision, like you said, and knowing that one day you will get there if you have the passion and keep it going. So yeah, definitely that absolutely helps. And I think that's why in Web3, we stress a lot on do your own research before doing something, so that, you know, everybody has their own opinion and their own understanding of what is happening and what they are putting their money into at the end of the day. So yeah, and well, with that, you know, I just want to ask, you know, how do you see the role of blockchain technology evolving in the financial industry? And, you know, what opportunities do you foresee for startups in this space in specific?
For blockchain technology, I think at the end of the day, the most important thing after all of the speculation and the bubbles, I think what matters at the end of the day is the utility. And the main utility of blockchain technology is ownership, like digital ownership, specifically, like, for example, even for NFTs. Either it's your digital ownership by the way you save the track record of your medical history, like you can have your medical history, you know, saved on the blockchain, and it will be immutable, it will be always there, and, you know, it's very safe. Or even if it's an art piece that you want to create and have the authority over, or even if it's your diplomas that you want to have always verified and not to, as I had before, you know, like I waited for my diploma to be verified for 5 months. It took 5 months. And if it was a soulbound NFT, it would have taken like seconds, right? Because it has been already verified if it's a soulbound NFT, because it's already mine and nobody needs my name on their diploma, right? So yeah. I think at the end of the day, it's about the utility and digital ownership and what blockchain has to offer as a technology. So like for any founders, I would say that focus on the utility and what value or what benefits or what you're bringing, you know, to the audience and to the customers, how you are improving the industry. For example, one of the startups that I worked for before, I can tell the name of the startups, right?
Yeah.
It's Kima Finance, KIMA. It's a DeFi startup that focuses on interoperability. So, and it also took, you know, almost 3 years for the startup to finally get the traction, to get the user base, to get the credibility. And I think everybody who went through the FTX crash and, you know, through a couple of these bear market years, it was, it really helped shape us. And I think now the startups who survived that time, I think they will finally get traction and finally flourish. But at the same time, a lot of startups died, you know, as I mentioned before, like one third of the gaming startups died, but which is also fine, you know, the more is the supply is the better, actually, that, you know, it helps improve the industry. So the question was, you know, eventually what is it about the blockchain? It's about the utility. And as I mentioned before, all the founders, I think, should focus on the end goal and what they can bring to the industry and to the audience.
Absolutely, yes. And I think utility is definitely one of the main eye catches right now in Web3. And With that, I think we're going to come to our last question, which is what I think a lot of our listeners will be waiting for. What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to enter fintech, DeFi, or GameFi sectors based on your own experiences?
Wow, that's a good question. I would say, like, according to the research, first of all, the average age of the successful founder is around 40. So before 40, like, don't be harsh on yourself, you know. You can, of course, start as a founder at 18 or 25. So, and you might have, like, several, like, failing startups before you launch your successful startup. And, you know, the history shows that, like, a bunch of different successful now founders also show that, you know, before they had different, not as successful ventures, but it helped them build what is required to build a successful venture, right? So I would say for Web3, it's important to have the understanding of the industry to, again, most likely you will have few like average ventures, but it will maybe even failing, but it's also a good step in the way to success, because you will understand what you don't have to do, and it will give you a clearer vision on what you should focus on. So work for an established company. If you're just starting in Web3, work for an established Web3 company, and you know, communicate as much as you can with the founder, and communicate as much as you can with other founders, because that way you'll get the insights, and they can have hands-on approach and learn by working in an established Web3 company. I think it's applicable for any industry, but for Web3 especially, like, you have to understand, like, what's happening internally. You have to get the insights. So yeah, and learn first, and don't be harsh on yourself before you turn 40, because I think yes, proven by the research, but also through my observations, like, a lot of startups that are successful now, you know, the founders that I know, who have, you know, previously failed ventures, they are now closer to their 40s, who have, like, good startups, having, you know, like, track record scaling and increasing customer numbers. So yeah, I think those two things are important.
Absolutely. I think that's very encouraging for a lot of the youth, especially who are constantly beating themselves down on the hustle culture, and we have to get there, you know, even before they are 20. And I think sometimes it takes a toll on a lot of their mental health and, you know, health in general. So yeah, I think that is very encouraging. So folks, remember that you don't have to beat yourself down before you're even 40. Go slow, fail, learn from failures, and then, you know, you'll eventually get there. So yeah, thank you so much, Egrim, for sharing your insights and expertise with us today. That was really nice. I think we had a great conversation. I hope you
did. And also, sorry to cut you, Charlene, but you mentioned about the mental well-being. You know, I just came from India. I was in a yoga and meditation retreat, and we had different, like, practices, you know, to connect with our higher self, to be more mindful, to be more present. And when you are mentally very calm, and, you know, because it's really easy to get caught up with daily routine, but sometimes it's important to get outside of the environments that you're in to have a different perspective. And I think working on yourself personally, like, all of the founders that I know, they really, really work on themselves personally. So aside from the business, you really have to grow as a person. And I think it's crucial to, you know, have that side of your life as well, and not being only in the business, because it's, like, you can get lost very, very easily. So you have to take yourself, pull yourself out, and be mindful. And it also gives you solutions, and it also gives you different perspectives that actually helps you drive the business. So that's very, very crucial. And I'm happy that you mentioned that.
Yes. Yeah. I think a lot of people think that it's always just work that will get them success, but they don't understand that success is just waking up happy and peaceful. Also, that work-life balance is very important. And I think because I'm from India, so I know that a lot of these practices actually help, and, you know, they help you grow as a person and with your business as well. So thank you for those insights as well. And sure. To our listeners, I know you enjoyed today's episode just like I did. So thank you so much again, Egrim. It was great having you on our show today.
Absolutely.
Yes. And
thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was great having you. And yes, guys, so with that, we come to the end of this wonderful episode, and we look forward to seeing the continued impact of your work, Egrim, in shaping the future of Web3 and innovation across diverse industries. We're really excited. All the best for your ventures in the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Charlene. And all the best to Orbis 86. And you guys are doing an amazing job for such an amazing and important cause. So I'm really happy that we got connected, and I'm always, you know, ready to support any way I can. So yeah.
Thank you. That is really sweet. We appreciate it. Yes, guys. And with that, we end today's episode. Tune in next time for more exciting discussions on the Silicon Dreams. Bye-bye.